OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
It's hurling all the way, and I'm delighted to say Jamesy O'Connor is with us first thing this morning. Jamesy, good morning to you.
Morning, Gerard.
We wanted to specifically talk to you just a little bit about where Limerick are in the pantheon of great hurling teams. Will was making the point to us off air a little bit earlier on that if they were to win this, and maybe it was Shane McGrath's point, and I'm stealing it there for your will, but if they were to win this, essentially they've become as good, if not better, than the greatest Limerick team of all time, which was maybe it was Mick Mackey, actually. Maybe the 70s team is getting a bit too much credit, but certainly they're on the verge of superstardom and all time greatness. How did they get there?
How did they get there, Ger? Listen, you build from the basis, but you get your foundations right. That starts, this is at school level. It starts at, obviously, in the clubs, your development squads. And I suppose, you build hopefully to underage success, minor, 21. And then you get the right management team, the right coaching team in place. And obviously, they've ticked pretty much all those boxes. Great management team, brilliant coaching in Paul Kinnerk. And obviously they have resources as well behind them in terms of JP. So, Ger, I think you're dead right, though. Like, you look at this, we've had two Munster titles, two National League titles, heading for, favourites, obviously, for Sunday and a second at Ireland. And if they do it, and they're favourites to do it, well, then I think there's no question about it. It's just, where do they go from there? How many more do they win? Because, they have the depth. And they appear to be the hunger. And this looks like a bunch that are hell-bent on winning the second and possibly more.
Would you have seen great colleges teams come through that you would have ended up playing against in Flannans? Or has this kind of been more through the clubs and the schools? Or is it a kind of happy combination of both?
A combination of both, certainly. I mean, look at Orskull, obviously, have been very successful at Harty Cup level. They really got their act together. And certainly they've been a force in Munster College's hurling. And if you wanted to win an under 15 title or a Dean Ryan title or a Harty title, more often than not, Orskull are one of the teams that you said at the start of the year you're going to have to beat along the way. Just one second, Ger.
No worries.
An unusual morning, Ger, between Graham getting caught and now Jamesy obviously getting a call from someone about giving away state secrets about the Limerick hurlers.
I'm always interested to see just how important those school successes are for the players, even just for their own sense of ambition and the confidence that they get from it, and how all of a sudden winning tournaments and trophies becomes realistic for them. And also it makes you part of a winning tradition, which might not always be the case at underage level.
Yeah, look, this was obviously very well planned out Limerick system to try and improve their underage hurling going back over a decade now at this point. These are players who've come through effectively Limerick trying to set up an elite academy for their players at underage level, and it's borne an awful lot of fruit in recent seasons. But one thing that's quite interesting as well, Jaron, I'm sure we can ask Jamesy about in a moment, but a few weeks ago, Dennis Walsh had a great piece in the Sunday Times about the amount of muscle that Limerick have packed on since about 2015, 2016. I was particularly looking at Aaron Gillan, who put on multiple kilos of lean muscle, which entirely changed things for him from being, a young player who was coming through with a lot of skill to a guy who was then able to win his own ball. And when you look at across that team, the amount of big men that Limerick have, like Declan Hannan, like Gerard Hegarty, who can both win primary possession and also break through tackles, it means that they can both turn teams over and retain possession. And I think that kind of transformation that we've seen from them in the last two or three years has been so crucial to them hitting an elite level. And like realistically, in the last 3 years, they've probably, in terms of big matches, had one poor 35 minutes where they didn't meet their level. And that was in the semi-final against Limerick, or against Kilkenny,
last year,
which Limerick almost rescued last year. So
James is
it's
back
a remarkable
there.
Team.
Yeah, so that transformation from a good set of young kids to a great set of fully adult players, as Will talks about there, it has many parts. It has the skill constituent, it has the game plan, but equally it has the physical side of it, and they've got that down.
Absolutely, and Will is spot on, because these guys are physical specimens, and that doesn't happen in 1 year, Ger. That's obviously a program, and obviously Mikey Kiley, I think, is there now as strength and conditioning coach, but Joe O'Connor was there before him, and obviously Joe was involved with Davey and Clare back in 2013, and listen, he's as good as they come in that department, and obviously the expertise that he brought, and obviously that Paul Kinnear brought, and like Alan Cunningham would be regarded as one of the best coaches in Clare. Brilliant guy, Ian Allen, which didn't make his goalkeeping coach on Ian Kiley, and he's obviously an integral part of that backroom team as well. Really smart, intelligent guy, great hurling man, hugely respected in Clare. So this is a serious backroom team, and all the pieces are in place. And, you know, I'd imagine that there isn't a second wasted at any Limerick training session, you know, from start to finish. And you look, I would say, the strength and the power of, you know, as you, the guys you mentioned, or Will mentioned, you know, Dermot Burns, you know, Kyle Hayes, the two Morrisseys. And look at that. That, as it doesn't happen overnight, that takes a lot of work, a lot of planning, and the Limerick guys are clearly putting it in.
So is Alan Cunningham an all-round hurling coach, but who is in with Limerick as a goalkeeping coach? That's interesting.
Oh yeah, listen, Alan would have been Dalo's, you know, coaching with Dalo, you know, back when Dalo was involved with Clare. Listen, Alan has been involved with myriad of you know, school teams, you know, with Shannon Comprehensive, and he's principal now in St. Caymans and Shannon. And as I said, look at Wolf Tones, his Aaron's dad that came on for and has played for Clare. You know, steeped in Clare hurling, and as I said, a fantastic guy, hugely respected.
Is it unusual
and a brilliant coach?
Is it unusual though that you'd have a non-specialised goalkeeping coach? I guess what I'm saying is there a bit of an angle there where they're actually making their goalkeeper think more like an outfield player rather than just working on shot stopping and puck out. It's like, okay, well, when you have the ball, you're actually thinking like an outfield player, and we're coaching you with that in mind, as opposed to, you know, your job is just to get that puck out of the way.
Oh yeah, listen, the goalie has arguably become the most important guy on the team now, because, you know, Limerick scored 27, had 17 wides against Galway. That's 44 puck outs probably that Ian Murphy had the ball in his hand, and Nicky Quaid maybe an equivalent amount at the other end of the field. So, you know, obviously it's an opportunity to win possession, and huge work goes into it. And now, there's a connection there. Paul Kinnear, Todd in St. Caymans, knows Alan really well there. So that's, you know, Paul would have been well aware of what Alan could bring to the table or whatever. You know, so, but certainly, you know, I went back through, Jerry, the first time, but the first 40, 45 minutes, you know, of Galway, Limerick watched in depth in terms of what was happening with puckouts. And I think Limerick lost one puckout in the first half, you know, where, and again, it was lost on the break. So yeah, they're retaining possession certainly from the first 45 minutes of the Galway match. They don't give it away, and that doesn't happen without everyone knowing their role, knowing where they're supposed to be, and obviously Nicky Quaid making the right decisions in terms of where he puts it and whether he goes long, whether he goes intermediate, or whether he goes short to win the cornerbacks.
Jamesy, in terms of that puck out strategy, obviously it worked really well against Galway, as you mentioned. I think it was only one loss inside their own 65 during the entire game. It'll be so important, though, for them to be able to keep the ball and distribute it well against this Waterford team, who are so good at pressing up on the opposition backline.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at the way Waterford monopolised possession against Kenny that second half. And you know, Jack Fagan, I think, caught 10 puckouts, which is incredible. I don't ever recall a guy doing that, you know, in a big championship match, you know, in Croke Park, especially against Kilkenny. That just doesn't happen. And, you know, Caleb Lyons, you know, caught a couple of balls over Mossy Cohen's head, and next thing Cody, and he whipped off and Walsh Walshon. So Waterford, you know, have the guys that can compete in the air, and they've got fellas, you know, that will match up well with some of the big physical players that Limerick have. But yeah, you can't win, you can't play without the ball, and puckouts are going to be a huge part of that weekend.
To go back to that bit about the evolution of the team, the style of play and the quality of hurler that Limerick require to play the game plan that they're playing, where does that come from, Jamesy? Because again, like, I suppose I'm really asking, how much of that is a style of play that you can evolve because you have those players, and how much of it is working relentlessly on the skills to make sure that the players can do what you're asking them to do?
Probably a combination of both, Jerry. I mean, I suppose, listen, it appears to me that, look at it, it's you know, it's just this thing becomes second nature to you in terms of the way you play it. Obviously, you know, you're playing these conditioning games in training night after night after night, and it just becomes instinctive. I mean, they got a score in the first half where, you know, Galway went short with puck out, and then it went long and went over someone's head. Sean Finn swept across, picked it up, I think gave a hand pass to Morrissey, he passed it to Burns. Burns put it across the back to Barry Nash, and then Declan Hanna was gone. He was in position to take a hand pass from Burns, but just took off when he saw Barry Nash, you know, getting the ball. He pinged it to Tom Morrissey. Suddenly Hanna was coming off the shoulder, really quick hand pass, and it's over the bar. And it was just a brilliant score, but clearly, you know, they had the confidence to play it. They had the skill level, obviously, to execute it. But Helen knew what he was doing, that there was an opportunity to get forward and come off the shoulder. And that year, obviously, you need a high skill level to play that. So, you know, you don't make it into county hurler unless you can, you know, you can do the skills and execute them under pressure at a high level. So Limerick certainly have that in spades, but they're clearly so attuned to this game because they're doing it obviously night after night, you know, in training. That's the way they play, and it just becomes instinctive. And you know, the more often as you play together as well, the more instinctive it becomes, and fellas get to know, you know, what Keane is going to do, and that's when you really start to progress as a team. And Limerick obviously have that because they've been deep in the championship, they've obviously been league finals, and the more times you play together, the more natural it looks, and the more adept you become at it.
OTB AM
with Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Is that just how the game has gone over the last decade, or how what role have Limerick played in shaping this evolution of it? I guess, again, are they better than anybody else has been at it in recent years? Are they playing it in a slightly different way? Is there a specific Limerick element to this?
There probably is a specific Limerick element to it, but I mean, again, you look at a lot of teams now. They're playing kind of with two inside, obviously flooding the middle third of bodies, half forwards coming deep, and just specifically, the game has changed. It's evolved. It'll continue to evolve going forward. I mean, obviously there are elements of Kilkenny in terms of, you know, you look sometimes at the number of Limerick players in their own half of the field. You know, and then you could pick probably hundreds of instances of, again, where Kilkenny in their prime, you know, you suddenly take a snapshot 30 metres in the opposition goal, and there's something like 10 or Kilkenny players flooding back, crowding the space and creating at the other end of the field. You know, obviously, you know, you look at Paul Kinnerk and you look at Clare in 2013, and you know, the style that they were playing as well was, and you even go back to those minor and 21 teams with Tony Kelly and Colin Galvin and those guys in the pump, and you can see, you know, similarities in terms of, you know, the running style and, you know, the emphasis on tackling and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they have adapted as well, though. I mean, you know, they've got players, obviously, now that can play that game that suits the style. I mean, Gillan is brilliant in terms of, you know, his movement, his availability, I suppose, as the out ball and the key focal point in that attack. But they've mixed it up as well. I mean, again, you look at Kyle Hayes. I mean, he was devastating at centre forward against Tip in you know, that Munster final last year. You know, he was unmarkable that night, and you think, look, this is the prototype, you know, centre forward, and I thought he was good against Clare, half forward, and overall against Clare in the first round were good. And then there's a complete curveball. He's back at wing back, you know, next day out against Tipperary, and he looks now absolutely dominant in that position with Burns on the other wing, both probably 6'4", 6'5", and a goalkeeper wondering, well, I can't go down either side of the puck out. Where do I go with it? These guys are so big, strong, and physically powerful. So, yeah, it's just a combination of, you know, things, but they certainly at the moment, you know, are setting the bar in terms of, you know, this is the way we play. We're going to impose that on you. And, you know, good luck with trying to beat us.
Jamesy, in terms of Limerick potentially having to adapt, Donal O'Grady was saying last week, Aaron Gillan is 50-50 for this final, wasn't able to train last week. If Gillan was to be out, how much of a blow is that, given that he's so central to the way that their attacking system actually works?
Yeah, listen, like, he's a free taker. Look, he's obviously very, very good from general play. Leads the line really well. He's unselfish. You know, he's physically strong and able to win his own ball. So clearly, like, you know, you're down with one of the first five or six names that John Kyle is going to put on the timesheet, and he's an automatic starter. So you don't want to be heading into any big game without a player as important as he is to the team. Now, that said, look at Seamus Flanagan's form. You know, I think it's obviously a big boon for Limerick because, you know, he was, I thought, really, really good in obviously in 2018, and you know, certainly there were signs, you know, coming on. He'd obviously made a contribution, and he looked sharp. He looked like he was back to his best, and I mean, he could very easily have had a couple of goals to go with the couple of points he got against them. You know, against Galway, was maybe fouled for a couple of frees as well. So he's got the you know, the strength to hold up the ball in there, which is obviously important. I mean, Peter Casey, you know, to me, hadn't done a whole lot wrong either in the games that he played. And, you know, again, he set up another goal chance, you know, when he came on the last day. And again, look, he fits into that game plan. He knows his role. He's experienced. He's, you know, he's good temperament, good player. So, look, they're probably as equipped as anybody will to replace Gillan. But certainly, you know, if you're Watford and you're taking the field on Sunday and Aaron Gillan isn't at the other end, you're better about your chances.
And I'd imagine as well that kind of strength that's available, given you mentioned that Flanagan can come in pretty much seamlessly if he was to start, or Casey, having that kind of depth on the bench has been hugely important for Limerick, even if we look back to the Munster final when that game was in the balance with 10 minutes to go.
Absolutely. And you know, you go right through the team, like, you know, Pat Ryan, you know, has been excellent. Flanagan obviously came off the bench. David Reedy, David Dempsey, Adrian Breen came on against Waterford. David Dempsey back in his own half-back line doing exactly. It could have been Tom Morrissey. He knew exactly what his role was. He got on the ball, looked up, pinged it in front of Breen, lovely touchdown, and you know, puts it over the bar, and we hadn't seen him. Like, so it just shows us just the depth that Kiely has at his disposal. And like, the fact as well that, you know, he's able to throw these guys in, his every confidence in them, means that they're obviously producing the goods in training, and he's seen something from them. So yeah, certainly, you know, but no more than Waterford will at the other end of this, on the other side, because you know, you look at the matches that they have won. I mean, Darragh Lyons has come on, you know, other players have come on, fitted seamlessly into the game plan. Yuri Daly's a good young player, came on and didn't miss a beat the last day. So, you know, I think that's really important, that both sides know that they have got guys that can come in, that know their role, that fit into the game plan, and you're not going to weaken the team by doing that. And, you know, the way they play, the energy that's required, you know, it's great to get those fresh legs on and that impetus on, and know, as I said, that you're going to get a burst of energy from these guys in the second half when the game maybe is in the melting pot.
Kieran Carey, when he was on with us, was talking about how he felt like Limerick were on the verge of becoming what the Dublin Footballers have become, a team who were dominant. And, you know, it was great to see somebody as excited about that, about their own county.
No, Ger, don't say that, Ger. Don't say that.
Well, the one thing that the comparison that you can definitely make with them now is just being in control in games, even when the game is close. You feel like no matter what gets thrown at them, they're going to be adaptable. So when Galway got the game back level, you still felt like, I don't know, look, obviously Joe had gone off and that might have been one of the reasons why you felt that, but you still felt like actually Limerick are going to be able to deal with it. Seems like barring a sucker punch here, barring a goal like the Cork Footballers got against Kerry, it still felt like they were going to be able to grind that out. And I don't know why I felt like that, but it's just they've ascended to that point where you believe in them and you trust that they're going to be able to work out whatever problem the opposition throws at them. I mean, am I wrong about that, or is that actually the level that they've got to at the moment?
No, I think you're right, Ger. I mean, you know, but that's down to a lot of things. It's down to look at the experience they have in big games. It's down to the age profile. It's down to the intelligence level. It's down to the management. You know, the whole package, I think, really, that, yeah, you definitely got that sense. I mean, even early on against Galway, you're wondering after 10, 15 minutes, you know, there's a touch of deja vu about this, because, you know, are they going to get spooked by the fact that they're 4 or 5 points down, that they've maybe, you know, had some easy chances that they've spurned, and obviously, you know, what happened 12 months ago or 15 months ago against Kilkenny, maybe that's still back in your mind, and you know that Galway are good and, you know, have players that can hurt you. But you never got any sense of panic, and even, you know, when they should have really put Galway away and Galway were still in the match, you know, Galway never really looked like scoring a goal. Limerick just looked so solid at the back. It was as if the armour was there and it was kind of impenetrable. And yeah, you just got that sense that it was clear heads, and, you know, there was going to be no deviation from the game plan. They were going to keep doing what they believed in, and that obviously makes them very, very formidable opponents. And you know, the big games, they're at a stage now when they're evolution, is just where, you know, they're confident of winning them, and they know what to do to get the job done. And they have a sort of game plan that makes them very, very hard to break down. They don't cough up too many goal chances, and with the players they have, they're so physical that they really are, Ger, you know, to my mind, Ryan's sitting looking from capable probably of certainly winning at the weekend and not stopping there and winning maybe 2, 3, 4 more, who knows.
Yeah, are you predicting, is that where you're leaning at the moment? It sounds that way.
I think so, yeah. Now listen, like, Waterford are on a roll, Ger, with a lot of momentum, and, you know, this time of the year when you get on a roll, you can be very hard to stop, and they're in a great place, because, like, I remember back in 97, and we met in, you know, September 96, and it was pretty much laid down by Loughnane that the second All-Ireland simply had to be won, in terms of, you know, Franken obviously the first one validating it and having to do it really, you know, to become a great team. And obviously, you know, having beaten Tip in the Munster final, then having to face them again, you know, there was probably added pressure, and maybe more pressure on us than there was on Tipperary heading into that final. And I think Limerick are, are under that same pressure, you know, that they know, look, at they're probably the best team in the country and have been for the last 3 years, but they still have only won at Ireland, and that second one simply has to be won. Waterford don't get the same pressure, and I think they're coming in, you know, better than they were in the Munster final, you know, certainly in a better place with more confidence. I think Croke Park suits them, certainly suits Desi Hutchins, some of the forwards that they've got, and I think that, you know, they're going to put up a massive challenge at the weekend, but you can't look beyond Limerick. And to my mind, I mean, I think favourites, pressure, it won't really matter at the weekend. I think they'll find a way to get the job done.
All right, Jamesy, good stuff. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Cheers, Jerry. Cheers, all.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.